Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.
Welcome to Food Fight Radio, the show from men who like to stand around on their front lawn and talk about how much better their Kentucky bluegrass is next to their neighbor's dingy green paspalum. If you know what I just said, you might be listening to the right station. And I'm your host, Claire Katz. I'll tell you what I like about Chinese people. They're really sticking in there with those chopsticks. And every time I go to a Chinese restaurant, it's, you know, kind of we're the only people sitting there who ask for a fork. It's a little bit embarrassing. It's not because I can't use chopsticks. I can use chopsticks quite well. It's just that they, you know, it's easier for me to shovel. It's with the fork. It's easier for me to get food into mouth in an efficient, quick, rapid manner. We eat American style. We see food, we eat it. It's a seafood diet. Obviously, Chinese people have seen the fork, right? They've seen the spoon. They've seen the fork. It's hard to eat soup with those spoons, actually. They're like little, they have their own little rest on the bottom. It's almost impossible to eat soup with those spoons. But, you know, they've seen the utensils that we have here in the United States. I think they're either sticking with the chopsticks for traditional reasons, or they are just really, you know, they found a better way with the sticks. Two sticks is somehow more efficient than a shovel. That I don't see it. You're not going to be, you know, scraping off 2 feet of snow from your driveway with a couple of pool cues. It's not going to be efficient at all. Marcus, what's your take on this? You're a little bit more up with these things than me.
I love chopsticks. I like how they use them. I believe they stick with them because it makes you take time to eat, take time to appreciate each bite you have. That's a very Buddhist thing, and Buddhist was the main religion in that area. So I believe it was just a way to...
The whole of China.
Well-esque. Different forms. I mean, that's where Buddha came from, and that way of life. But with the chopsticks, it's just like that.
Mm-hmm. So taking the time to eat—that's kind of a cultural thing, and that's of course how the more Americanized Chinese people tend to eat too.
I have no idea. From now on, the ones here are mostly it's just a tradition.
I don't see a lot of them walking out of their office buildings in the middle of the afternoon to do calisthenics, and I know they do that in China.
In San Francisco, there's a lot of people that go out there and do that for the lunch break. They're their yoga in the morning, doing the yoga or the stretches, the Tai Chi, not yoga.
And there's a real lot of debate among serious foodies as to whether the Chinese food that we get in America is real authentic Chinese style food, like the kind of Chinese food that people eat in China. Food snobs like to chime in on this and say that what we eat here is just American style Chinese food to satisfy an American palate. And that's all, like orange chicken or kung pao chicken, etc., that these are American creations, that fortune cookies are just an American creation, which actually I believe that they are, to please American diners, and that just perpetuates the whole problem.
Fortune cookies are an American invention. What they are is when the Chinese came over here and they were working on the railroads, it was the only way they could actually pass notes to kind of talk because they were in slavery. So fortune cookies, the fortune inside, that is there so they can secretly communicate.
It's a secret code.
It's a secret
It's
passage.
Not dessert.
It's a secret envelope.
Okay,
it's a delicious envelope.
It's not a fortune. I'm going to play a prank on my boss after work.
We're all going to get up together and leave. And this is how we know what day to do it on.
This is how they would stage the walkouts.
Exactly. Or whatever they were staging. I'm not too keen on what actually happened.
Yeah, who's playing Mahjong later with whom.
Exactly.
Yeah, or who's got the hots for whom. Or who's going to meet whom, you know, late night under the mess tent.
Can you ask Mimi if she likes me?
Yeah, the secret note. I like you. Do you like me? If yes, check this box, stuff it in a cookie and send it back to me.
If no, just eat the cookie and walk away.
Eat the cookie and walk away. See, even if you don't agree, you still get a cookie out of it.
You still get a cookie.
Yeah. It's not fortunes. Fascinating. Communication instead of fortunes. Americans like to really kind of put their own cute little spin on stuff. But the shape of the cookie, is that the same?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, it's just a round cookie. You just fold it twice and it makes that shape. That's a really easy shape to make.
Well, I'm going to defend the authenticity of Chinese food here served in America. We'd probably catch a lot of heat for that. But let's look at the facts before everyone goes all gung-ho on me here. There could probably be a corresponding dish in China, like we have sweet and sour chicken, and they might have sweet and sour pussycat, I guess, occasionally from time to time. I'm just kidding. I don't mean it. But in general, there are huge differences, like the fortune cookie. And they have Americanized to a degree, like putting, you know, they put a McDonald's in China, you know, and so that's going to be, I don't know if that's a superior Big Mac to the American Big Mac, but I wouldn't bet that they're made out of cows 100% of the time. There's probably no dairy in a Chinese diet because almost everyone there is lactose intolerant. So if you see any dairy anywhere in a Chinese restaurant, it's not authentic. But the main difference is the proportion of meat to veggies. I'd say there's a lot more meat in the Americanized dishes. If you get there, if you get Mongolian beef, Mongolian style beef, it's mostly here. It's like 90% meat and 10% little scallions. And over there, you get a ton of vegetables, lots of scallions, and a few pieces of meat.
Yeah, meat's a garnish over there. Just a little add-on, a little salty, proteiny to it.
And breakfast in China is different for each area because, you have noodles in some areas. Then no one really knows what Chinese people have for breakfast. They assume they eat rice.
Yeah, I was just going to say rice, actually. Yeah, I have no idea. But
we don't know. We assume rice because whenever we see a movie, or let's give a perfect example, Mulan. Okay, she's eating rice for breakfast.
Yes.
So kids are watching this movie and they're saying, oh, okay, in their heads, they're not talking out loud, obviously, but they're making the connection in their heads that Chinese people are eating rice for breakfast. And this is not necessarily the case. A lot of areas, they have a big bowl of noodles, sometimes wheat noodles. And there's one area in China where they have a big bowl of wheat noodles with about a half an inch of layer of pig fat. Very similar, I'd say, to our habit of eating breakfast sausage.
Yeah,
which is a half an inch layer of pig fat.
Rolled pig fat.
It's in an attractive little hot dog shape, which Americans really like. Steamed stuffed pork bun in other areas, sometimes steamed dumpling made of sticky rice. A fancy breakfast for a lot of Chinese people would be dim sum. We're going to be reviewing a dim sum restaurant later on the show. It's lots and lots of cute little dumplings, rolls, noodles, pot stickers, lotus seed cakes, glutinous desserts. I love glutinous desserts. If I can get more gluten into my diet, I'm happier. I know a lot of people are trying to avoid it, and that's a subject for another rant on another day. Glutinous desserts, that just sounds super tasty, doesn't it?
Yeah, but there's actually no gluten in rice.
Glutinous rice-based dessert. That just sounds delicious to me. I don't know about you. We'll be reviewing them later on, and I'm looking forward to that because I did have an excellent time. Should you decide to venture out and get a nice fancy dim sum Sunday breakfast, just, kind of take it easy. Follow our instructions. You're going to want to probably write those down. You don't want to make a faux pas. Coming up after this quick commercial break, and I do mean quick, we're going to tell you how to smoke your own oysters, scallop salmon, and bologna. We're going to continue our conversation about the authenticity of Americanized Chinese food. And bologna. I'll tell you, if bologna tasted any better, I'd wear it. Coming up on Food Fight Radio.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Eat in, take out, or delivery. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com. Limited delivery area.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinthenumber2night.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Do you want to make more money? Own your own business? Find the perfect business for you at the Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo, January 26th and 27th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Discover full and part-time opportunities and talk directly with the owners of money-making franchises who can help you open a successful business. See the hottest new franchises and get valuable advice at free seminars all weekend. For more info, visit SanDiegoFranchiseExpo.com. Don't miss San Diego's largest Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo, January 26th and 27th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. you'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio. And Marcus, it is never okay to slap someone in the face with cold luncheon meats. When I said I would wear it, that was rhetorical. Geez, you know, you really bother me. And I don't mean in a you leave the drive through and realize that they've left out the ketchup kind of way. I mean, you really bother me.
Hey, I'm here to look good. I have feelings too.
Ugh, I could powder you and take you as a hormone supplement. Tell me, did your father have any sons? Why don't you just go write a letter to the editor? How about that? So we're going to be talking smoking, and not the good kind, huh? And to wrap up our quick conversation about the authenticity about Americanized Chinese food, just want to talk about the evolution of the Chinese restaurants real quickly. And if there's anyone who wants to call us up and debate on this, tell us we're wrong, please tell us we're wrong. 888-344-1170 is the phone number here at KCBQ. Now, a lot of food snobs will say that Chinese food in restaurants is fake or not authentic. And while normally I would take that a little bit to heart as someone who considers myself a great foodie, and I'm actually going to defend the authenticity of Americanized Chinese food as it has developed in Chinese restaurants, and I'll tell you why. This Chinese food has been evolving on its own as a separate type of food since Chinese people started to come here. And what we know a little bit about the history of Chinese people is that the bulk of them in the early days of the immigration were created for Chinese people. These were not dishes that were created for Americans. And that is because people were coming here to work on the railroads about the 1840s and the gold rush in California. The early Chinese immigrants, they were railroad builders. And they had a limited access to traditional Chinese ingredients. Obviously, they would miss the food of their homeland. Obviously, they'd try to recreate it. And then so what kept happening is obviously some of those people who knew how to cook, they would start cooking and selling the food. So, you know, your first Chinese restaurants, these were little restaurants for people. They were inexpensive, and they would try to replicate their favorite traditional at-home Chinese dishes with American ingredients. So obviously, you have a new ingredient, just one, you're going to have to try to recreate that flavor in another way. If you have two new ingredients, you're going to have to change that again. And if you have a ton of new ingredients, you're going to wind up with a completely new flavor that you're now going to have to get used to, but it would have primarily the same corresponding types of ingredients. Something's an onion, you're going to find an American onion, you know, and it's going to resemble a Chinese onion. You know, water chestnuts, not a lot of water chestnuts available in the U.S., nearly 200 years ago. So you would have to find something else that had a little bit of a crunch, like a carrot.
Yeah.
And for something starchy, you know, instead of like a daikon or a taro root, stuff like that, you would have to find, if you can't get access to sweet potatoes, you would use a regular potato. You know, it's still starchy. You're still going to get the same texture. So texturally and sauce-wise, I think probably very similar. I think the most swaps you'd find is in the meats and vegetables. Obviously, spices. Spices in China, a lot of areas in China, they have a lot more spicy food. And, you know, they couldn't get those spices here. So I think the dishes started off at the time being a lot more mild, really, than they really needed to. But, I mean, after World War II, about 1945, mainstream Americans began eating and appreciating Chinese food and began frequenting Chinese restaurants. And then, of course, the food would have to evolve a little bit more to satisfy an American palate. So I'm going to say American Chinese food is Chinese food. I'm going to say it's authentic. it's a different style. But in terms of it being authentic, I think that it's basically authentic.
Its basic origin was for the Chinese people in the area. Is that what you're saying? Like, you know, because
if it's
of
made
that,
for Chinese people, mm-hmm. it's authentic.
Right on.
I think I they did not modify what they were doing to please a palate that was not Chinese. And therefore, I'm going to say that the authenticity of American Chinese food as it is developed is completely authentic. And please call me up, yell at me if you think I'm wrong. And, you know, different areas, obviously, in China, you could argue that. You could say, okay, well, you know, Sichuan chefs use a lot of spice. People in Western China like lamb over pork. Northern Chinese go heavy on the dough, right? Shanghai uses a lot of sugar. You can't get through a meal in, like, Hong Kong without, like, a ton of seafood. You know, so it is all different, and it has been changed, but it's been changed to suit Chinese people. And I think, therefore, I vote authentic. Marcus?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like your argument. I didn't really put much thought into it, but yeah.
It's nice to know you're paying attention.
It's nice to know, yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It's also good to know that I'm sitting here like a veal in a booth talking to myself. Here, you should just take a break. I was like talking to a...
Sorry, I was looking at the wall. What were you saying?
I was watching this bird over here. It's really distracting.
Others in here.
So while I look for a new co-host, we're going to start to go over some how to smoke your own oysters, scallops,
Yay.
Salmon, and cheese. We'll start with the cheese, and I think that's interesting because people are like, what? Smoker? Smokering is done in a barbecue.
Yep.
It's warm. The cheese would melt. How do you do that? Well, the thing is it's smoke without heat. And that can be accomplished with a grill kicker. There's also a thing called a smoke pistol. And what it is, as long as he's laughing, he's goofing out at me here. I said smoke pistol. Okay, it's a device that just pumps out aromatic smoke, and you can change the flavor of the smoke, obviously. You can check these things out online. There's a lot of different types, and it's great for smoking your own cheese. Why do you want to smoke your own cheese?
Because it's delicious,
and you can put it on your own pizzas and sandwiches and everything. Has anyone ever had smoked Gouda? It tastes a lot different than non-smoked Gouda. And it's a kind of a smoky, strange, nutty, smooth flavor that you don't get with non-smoked Gouda. And you can do this with all kinds of cheeses, Swiss and Jarlsberg and all the hard cheeses. I would definitely recommend, because by the time a brie is done smoking, it's all run through the, you know.
Yeah, but you can use a goat cheese or like a semi-soft cheese if it's a cold smoker.
You just don't want to use the cheese that's gooey and runny.
Yeah.
That would be messy, and honestly, that's a total waste of time. But what you want to do is just get a couple of grills, prop them up with something, empty soda cans or anything, and you can even get a grill box. But the inexpensive way to sort of rig this box is to set up some grill, put it inside a cardboard box now, and set up the grill kicker or the smoke pistol on the inside of this thing with several blocks of various types of cheeses, and then you smoke them for, you know, couple hours. You know, 8 hours max, I'd say. And then you have all these great smoked homemade cheese, and you will enjoy the homemade smoked cheese more than the smoked cheese you get from a store.
Kind of always enjoy things more when you make them yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So other types of stuff that we normally like to smoke. And I just said that. We're giggling here. And it's not because we're smoking. We're not. This is a smoke-free environment. It says so right on the wall. Smoking oysters and salmon. Now, if you were to get smoked oysters or scallops, normally you can get smoked salmon in a lot of places, but smoked oysters or scallops, they're hard to get. They're expensive to get. And normally the only place you can get them is in a really high-end magazine, like a Dean and DeLuca or a Mackenzie. And we've all seen these magazines and then looked at the prices and said, what? And then, you know, you throw it away and then you think, well, but I would kind of like some smoked scallops though. You know, and then before you know it, you're paying $45 for 16 ounces of smoked scallops, which is, it's American, but it's unfair.
It's unfair.
I was going to say un-American. It's completely American.
It's completely American.
Yeah.
If you pay it.
If you pay
American.
It, they will.
Yeah.
If you charge it, they will come. So it's, people want it because it's expensive. No. You know what? It's not worth it. It is not worth $45 for 16 ounces of smoked anything. Well, not anything, but... oysters and scallops, yes, you can make your own. And our buddy Marcus here knows exactly how to smoke your own oysters and scallops, and cheaply and simply and quickly. Marcus?
So if you don't have any smoker or don't plan on getting them because you just want smoked oysters or that for right now, The easy way to do it is to find whiskey oak barrel wood chips or any wood chips. And if you're talking to someone, make sure the flavor isn't too strong. You don't want a hickory. You don't want a mesquite. It will destroy the other flavors in your seafood. You're going to soak those. And while you're soaking, you're just going to blanch your raw oysters or scallops for maybe half a minute. Now, that's putting them in a basket, dipping them in hot water just for a little bit to seal the outside. So
we're saying step one, soak.
Soak.
Step two, blanch.
Blanch. Yeah, blanch, you know, while you're soaking. But blanch it real quick. And then what you can do is just put them in a colander, and you can put it on your grill. And then you also put your soaked wood chips in the grill also, and just light one a little bit. Now, since they're wet and they're soaked, they'll produce the smoke but not burn. And then you got them inside your barbecue with the lid on, and you want to have the smoke going for about 30 minutes, maybe 45.
So you can actually get wet wood chips to smoke?
You get wood chips and you soak them to smoke, yes.
And then they actually do smoke?
Yeah.
You don't have to sit there with a little lighter under them and keep them smoking?
Uh-uh.
No, they actually just sort of catch and then they keep on smoking by themselves?
They catch and they burn. Since they're wet, they put off a lot of smoke and they will not catch fire, which means they won't put off too much heat. So you got like a cool smoking going on right in your barbecue.
Okay, and then how long does that take?
45 minutes max. You don't want to go any longer than that for your scallops and your mussels, because then you'll destroy the original flavor, which you want to keep.
Can you put them together?
Yeah.
Scallops and oysters and mussels, you can just throw all those in
together.
Well,
you want to keep them separate, but you can smoke them all at the same time.
And salmon, you want to put that on a plank.
You would want to put that on a plank, and you would want to make sure you salt it a little time first. Again, blanching or salting just to give it an outside.
Do you
want to
sear the skin side? I read somewhere that searing the skin side was really good for the pre-smoking.
I've never done it, but that doesn't mean it shouldn't be done.
Couldn't hurt. You probably shouldn't have to do it, but I...
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, go for it.
I mean, I can eat the skin anyway. And it is on a plank.
It's on a plank, yeah. So
how long are you going to smoke the salmon for?
You're going to smoke the salmon. That's going to take, depending on it, probably about an hour and a half, a pound.
Okay, so you're about a pound in. And, you know, if you have a pound of salmon, honestly, you're going to go through a pound of salmon pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly.
But, you know, you're not going to eat all in one day. So start with a pound. Start small. It doesn't take that much time. And so soak, blanch, light, wet smoking chips until they smoke. Keep them smoking. Close the grill. Let that go for 45 minutes to an hour, hour and a half.
Exactly.
Okay. Salmon, stick it on a plank. Same exact process.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you can buy separate smoking boxes. But in the interest of making it simple and making you want to actually try something new, use the barbecue that you already have in your backyard.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're the life of the party. You've provided all these expensive looking things, and they go with so many great things and aiolis, and you can just dip them in there. They're fantastic. So when we come back from this quick commercial break, we're going to talk about sandwiches that are best dusted with powdered sugar and smeared with preserves.
Blech.
Yeah, and you scoff now. Just wait. Next on Food Fight Radio.
When our kids started school,
I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried the supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through eighth grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized and
don't forget motivating.
Education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
You want to make more money? Own your own business? Find the perfect business for you at the Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo, January 26th and 27th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Discover full and part-time opportunities and talk directly with the owners of money-making franchises who can help you open a successful business. See the hottest new franchises and get valuable advice at free seminars all weekend. For more info, visit sandiegofranchiseexpo.com. Don't miss San Diego's largest Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo, January 26th and 27th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds.
For over 7 years, Modern Dentistry, the office of Dr. Amir Majavar and his friendly professional team members, have been providing quality and affordable care to San Diegans all over the county. Specializing in state-of-the-art cosmetic and family dentistry, including children ages 3 and up, porcelain crowns, veneers and lumineers, Invisalign, teeth whitening, and metal-free restorations. Rest assured the care you'll receive will be with the utmost precision and quality, and provided in a caring, nurturing, and virtually pain-free environment. Having completed a residency in cosmetic dentistry and over 200 successful Invisalign cases, Dr. Majavar is highly trained to create a beautiful smile just for you. Their office is designed with comfortable chairs, ceiling-mounted TVs, and noise-canceling headphones. Call Modern Dentistry and see what a difference a healthy, beautiful smile can make in your life. Go to sdmoderndentistry.com or call 858-259-4765. 858-259-4765.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. So, I may be crazy, but a freshly fried Monte Cristo sandwich is always at its best when it's got a nice dusting of powdered sugar and a swipe of preserves. Now, Marcus says, ew, and he should really know better than to derogate something before it's been even properly explored, because he's about to eat those words. Monte Cristo?
I love a Monte Cristo, but once you put schmear and powdered sugar on it, it's just wrong.
It's just wrong.
I understand you got French toast, and that's the bread. And then the ham inside and the cheese. It's wonderful. And I don't have no problem frying sandwiches, but once you powder it with sugar, it's a leftover sandwich. That's how it came across.
A leftover sandwich?
Oh, I have two pieces of French toast and some ham and some cheese. What would I do? I will make a sandwich. It needs powdered sugar.
You know, I'm a quarter French. And I find that highly offensive. I'm just kidding.
I was going to call him.
Originally called a croque monsieur, which literally translates to crunch mister. Crunch mister. This was actually originated in French cafes and bars as a quick snack. It was not typically made with leftover French toast. French toast is an American creation, as you know. The way it's been prepared as of late, the past, I don't know, 80, 90 years, and Emmental or Gruyere cheese is used. And these are types of Swiss.
Yeah, they're really strong Swiss.
So they're powerful, they're pungent, they're tasty. They're put in there with ham. So this is a ham and Swiss sandwich that is dipped in batter and deep fried. And you say, this is an American creation. No, it's not. This is a French creation. It's not the Americans who like to dip everything in batter and deep fry it.
We did get that from somewhere. You're right.
Yeah, we got the idea from. It's a brilliant idea. Where do we get our brilliant ideas? We take them from other cultures. We have the youngest culture ever. So, I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to improvise. We're going to take something tasty. We're going to make it our own. Deep frying stuff is not an American thing. The stuff that we deep fry being super unhealthy That's an American thing. And eating portion sizes that are 3-4 times too big, that's an American thing. And eating lots of them in an all-you-can-eat buffet, Vegas style, and then, you know, croaking of a heart attack within 20 minutes because you now have a 4 times elevated risk after a heavy meal, that's an American thing. But deep frying stuff to a tasty golden brown is not an American thing. It's French to a degree. Okay. And the creation of the Monte Cristo is part of that. And its first mention of it on a French menu was about 1910. So we're looking at about a 100-year-old sandwich here. And what Marcus's favorite is the croque madame.
That is one of my all-time favorite sandwiches. Not to make in a restaurant. I've done that. But you got the ham, you got the cheese. And then my favorite breakfast, most people know it as eggs in a basket. It's when you have a piece of nice sourdough toast. You cut a hole in the middle. You sear the toast and you put an egg on it. And then you cook the egg sunny side up. Now, that's the top part of the sandwich. So you got like a fried egg in the bread and then bread on the bottom and all cheese together. And just, it's lovely. The egg yolk is the sauce. It is one of my all-time favorite sandwiches.
Or without going to the trouble of cutting a nice round hole in your piece of toast and trying to get the egg in there without cracking and then trying to turn it into a sandwich. The easy way to do that is to make the sandwich and then put a poached egg on top.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're putting an egg on top, you are not going to put the powdered sugar and the preserves.
Right.
Personally, I think it's tastier with the powdered sugar and the preserves. And, you know, a lot of people think that Monte Cristo is thought to be attributed to the French novel, The Count of Monte Cristo, by Alexandre Dumas. And as such, the sandwich's name suggests it comes from France. And it does. It is a French thing. So ham and Gruyere inside, battered, fried bread slices. You can use leftover French toast as a base. Why not? Why waste food? So you can serve that with traditionally served with clotted cream, sour cream, fruit preserves, and dusted with powder. Again, not an American creation.
Clotted cream. Delicious.
Well, I'm lactose intolerant, so I'm not going to have the, yeah, you know, it's take a handful of pills if I want to eat like a cheese stick.
Boiled milk on my sandwich?
See? And, you know, again, totally derogating something you haven't even tried. Have you tried clotted cream?
Yes.
Really? What does it taste like? Does it taste like cottage cheese?
It tastes a little like that. It is a little sweet, but I just can't get over the fact that it has that soury bite to it.
Some of the finest delicacies in the world are, in fact, rotten.
Well, okay.
1,000-year-old egg, 1,000-year-old fish. Durian tastes rotten even when it's fresh. We'll be talking about that on another show. We're not going to talk about too many things that Marcus finds disgusting because, honestly, he has a woman's composition and his body can't handle the stress. So other things that you can serve with a Monte Cristo, giving me a dirty look, other things you can serve with a Monte Cristo sandwich and maple syrup. And it was what? French toast. It's got like a semblance of a French toast in there. You can put maple syrup on that, dip it in there. Americans like to dip our sandwiches in a giant vat of sugar.
I'm almost more okay with maple syrup than I am with powdered sugar and jam because that's the ham inside. And there's maple ham. I can see how all that goes together.
Right. And most of the time when you get maple ham in, you know, a normal setting, it's actually made with real maple syrup, isn't it? No.
It's made with sugar syrup,
which has a light maple extract in it. It's maple flavored breakfast syrup, folks. You're not eating anything that came out of a maple tree. I suggest the real maple syrup. It comes from an actual maple tree. It's maple tree blood, if you will, from enslaved maple trees. If you're going to go there, at the risk of upsetting the sensibilities of our diehard vegan insect marchers, you should have real, honest to goodness maple syrup. No bugs are typically harmed in the creation of real maple syrup. You're draining the tree's blood, right? But vegans eat plants and they're fine with it anyway. I don't think they'd have a problem with real maple syrup. We're going to be getting into a touchy, hot button vegan issue. Later on in the show, so you definitely want to stay tuned for that. And if there are any diehard vegans out there, you'll probably want to call up and tell me that I'm wrong, and please do. Again, the number is 888-344-1170 on KCBQ. So also sandwiches that you can deep fry and schmear with preserves and dust them with powdered sugar, just the way Marcus likes it. Fried calves brains sandwich.
Okay, well, you got me on that one. I've never, ever, ever had that.
Me neither, but I would. I would totally eat that. Put it in there with some French toast. You know, I'm going to assume that most people would want it prepared simply. You get your deep fried calves brains. You put it in a nice deep fried sandwich. And then what are you going to put on it? What would you put on it? I mean, what would your instinct be for the appropriate condiment for a calves brain?
Brown butter sauce.
Interesting. Interesting. I would probably put something sweet on it. I would probably something maple-y. Forget peanut butter and banana sandwich. That's not up to my
taste. Love that. I was going to bring that up. You get peanut butter or banana between two things of French toast, cook it.
I think it's actually what killed Elvis.
No, that would have jelly beans in it.
I think it was a deep fried ham and jelly bean sandwich that he was eating in the bathroom, I think. But ham and pineapple panini, that would be very, very tasty. Any fried sandwich, forget dessert sandwiches. Putting peanut butter and banana, fluffer nutter sandwich. Come on, people. Let's have a little fun with it. Savory sandwiches with the sweet stuff on top. Sweet and savory go hand in hand. That's why people like sweet bacon desserts, right? And the savory stuff here works best. Turkey, apple, and brie. It's sweet.
Yeah, you know, apple.
Yeah, sweet. Turkey, apple, and brie. The brie is pungent. The apple is sweet. The turkey is mild. I mean, they all pair together extremely well. Play with these things. Sandwiches are extremely versatile foods. And, of course, a fine dusting of powdered sugar and a spoonful of fruit preserves smeared on there certainly does not hurt. So, Marcus, you will join me or die. You will come to the dark side, Luke.
If you have the calf's brain sandwich, I'll definitely try it. I'm not opposed to trying new foods, but you know.
Walnut preserves are actually really, really good if you're kind of getting sick and tired of the maple syrup thing. You know, if you don't want to put maple syrup on everything, what else are you going to reach for? You're not going to want to put, you don't want to put preserves on stuff. You don't want to put powdered sugar on stuff. You tell me you're okay with maple syrup, but if you didn't want to put maple syrup, what would you put on it? There's nothing else. You're not going to be able to think of anything else. Something that's something else is walnut preserves. And you can typically get these in ethnic markets. It's a little jar. You find it in the preserves section, along with blackberry preserves, currant preserves, strawberry preserves, stuff like that. But essentially, it's a whole walnut in the shell that's been simmered in sugar syrup for a couple of days. And what happens is the material of the shell breaks down so that it becomes soft and edible. And honestly, who doesn't want to eat a walnut shell, really? You know? Because cracking them open is typically such a pain.
It is. So it's walnuts on the soft shell. That's neat.
Yeah, it's soft-shelled walnuts. You can eat the whole thing. It's just like getting a soft-shell crab, except it's made out of nuts. Who doesn't love that? And the best part of this is not the whole nuts. You don't have to eat those. It's the syrup. It's the dark brown syrup that comes in the jar with the walnuts that you really, really want. It's sort of like a maple syrup, but it's extremely nutty, and it's got that great walnut bitter taste. Tang on the tongue, and fantastic replacement for maple syrup. I just suggesting that people go and try new things, put it on some of your favorite stuff. The whole dish doesn't have to be new. You could take your favorite sandwich and put something new on it. Deep fry it. Put some walnut preserves syrup on there with a dusting of powdered sugar, just like Marcus likes it. And and try that. Turkey, apple, brie, panini, very, very good. You don't need a panini press. You just need a frying pan and some little bit of butter to keep it from sticking. That's really all you need. You don't have to get specialized equipment.
Or a George Foreman grill.
Those are stupid and lame. And if you have one in your kitchen, I am ashamed for you. Don't go to Williams-Sonoma. I don't like Williams-Sonoma. I don't like anything they have at Williams-Sonoma. Why? Because you go in there and you're going to see a little jar of spice. It's $19. You could get that anywhere else in the world for a buck. Even if you pay full price for it in a regular supermarket, it's still going to be only $4 or $5. Absolutely ridiculous. Compare some prices, people, before you just walk into a mall-based retail center that has upwards of a $12,000, $13,000 rent. How do you think they're going to pay that rent? They're going to charge you $20 for a 24-ounce jar of spaghetti sauce. Spaghetti sauce. Really? Seriously, this is an actual thing. I've seen this in Williams-Sonoma. I think that the store is ridiculous. Anyone who shops there should be embarrassed to the point that they shouldn't be allowed to call themselves a cook. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. When we come back after the break, we're going to be talking about, We're going to be talking about bee politics. And things that you can do with garlic, and why not eating lots of it can really hurt your health. Listen, or you'll be sorry, next on Food Fight Radio.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Do you want to make more money? Own your own business? Find the perfect business for you at the Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo, January 26th and 27th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Discover full and part-time opportunities and talk directly with the owners of money-making franchises who can help you open a successful business. See the hottest new franchises and get valuable advice at free seminars all weekend. For more info, visit sandiegofranchiseexpo.com. Don't miss San Diego's largest Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo, January 26th and 27th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Mira Mesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiraMesa.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, everyone. Today on this segment, we're going to be talking about things that you can do with garlic, or as I like to call it, I'll tell you what you can do with that garlic clove. Garlic is really, really useful for all kinds of stuff. It strengthens your heart. It strengthens your body. I think everyone generally has a pretty good idea how good it is for your heart, and they generally try to get more of it into their diet as a result. You buy the fresh garlic. You get the special little garlic crushers and garlic graters, and then you get them in whole cloves, and I'm going to crush a garlic today and rub it all over myself, and then you never do. People just don't eat enough garlic. And
have you heard about the trend right now? A lot of people are actually cutting back on garlic and onions.
Why is that?
And especially in authentic Italian food, there's another like foodie type thing where they want to taste the other ingredients more and just trying to kind of cut it out.
Well, then I say they don't know what the heck they're doing in the kitchen because honestly, it's easy to put a lot of garlic into a dish and disguise it if you introduce the garlic at the right time. It melds with the other flavors. It enhances the other flavors without providing an obnoxious garlic flavor.
I was going to bring up too. That's one of the things I like about Dine-In Tonight is they fold it in. They have lots of garlic and lots of fresh garlic, lots of fresh onions. And again, you can't really go many places where they don't buy the chopped or the preserved garlic and use it. They use the fresh stuff in it. It's just healthier. They fold it in. It's not overpowering. You can
hardly
taste it. And
Dine-In Tonight is one of our advertisers. We're just absolutely in love with them. You probably just heard the commercial, and you'll be hearing more commercials. One of the reasons that we really, really love this is because it's not just convenient gourmet food that comes to your house every day. It's also extremely healthily prepared gourmet food. If you were to learn how to be a gourmet chef, and you were to go to the store every day and get fresh ingredients every day, go home and spend a couple of hours cooking food for your family, those are the ingredients that go into these dishes. So we're talking about less salt. We're talking about more spices that bring out the inherent flavors of the ingredients. And of course, as Marcus was talking about, the use of garlic. Now, you're not going to be getting your food, opening up the container and saying, boy, I smell garlic. That will not happen. And that's one of the things I really like about the way they prepare the meals. And taking in more garlic, obviously, is a really, really good idea. Taking it as a pill is not quite the same. It doesn't metabolize in your body the same. Generally speaking, it doesn't do all that well going through the breakdown process when it's in pill or oil form.
She's trying to say is it turns into gas, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, not pleasant.
Not pleasant.
But we're not going to talk about that on this show, are we? No, we're not going to talk about bodily functions on this show. If you want to hear bodily functions, tune in on Saturday for that other show that we won't mention. That this is, it's not a show. It's a 3-hour commercial about aloe vera juice and going to the bathroom. You know, I don't have a problem with that. I just think they should call it something else. You know, calling it food frenzy, I think, is misleading. It's misleading to people. I have a big, big problem with the fact that, okay, they're a food show. We're a food show. No, they're not. They're not a food show. It is a 3-hour commercial about aloe vera juice and having it make you go to the bathroom. And that's really all I'm going to say about that, because as I promised our listeners, I will not be talking about that particular aspect of the food and lifestyle and digestive process on this show. More power to them. I say, fine. Push your own product. That's awesome. Who doesn't do that? You know, everyone is in business to make money, and I will defend their right to do so. It is the name of the show that I actually have a problem with. It should be called something else, ladies. It is ridiculous. Don't talk about food. It's the beginning step to the result that you spend most of the time talking about on that show. It should be called something else. I vote Elimination Nation, Constipation Committee, and that's all that we're going to talk about that. But garlic, we're here to talk about garlic. Garlic, aside from being really good for you, is also very delicious. And there are other things that you can do with it. And Marcus is... Oh, I'm not going to say that. I cannot say that. I promised that I would not say that on the radio, but I appreciate your candor. Garlic is also very useful as an acne treatment. Now, I'm not sure there's anyone suffering from an embarrassing pimple, but if you do, you just take a raw slice of garlic and you rub it on the pimple. The garlic's natural antibacterial properties lessen the appearance of blemishes. A couple of days, it'll be diminished.
But that's also a repellent for, you know, being close, isn't it? I mean, if you think of garlic.
A little bit of a garlic clove rubbed on something. It's called perfume, baby.
All right.
Spray a little bit of it on.
All right, I'll try it out.
How about deodorant?
I'll try it out.
Are these foreign concepts for you?
No, just
are
garlic.
Are you using that useless crystal rock thing? Because that doesn't work at all.
That works very well.
Yeah, it doesn't work at all. And if you think it is, you've just become accustomed to your own smell. Glue. Crush a few garlic cloves. Use the juice as a glue for paper. You can even partially stick pieces of glass together with how sticky garlic juice is. It's really, really useful. And people are like, yeah, glue, garlic, glue. I don't care. Okay, talk about something I care about. Aphrodisiac. Garlic can be used as an aphrodisiac. I know what you're thinking. You know, you're eating a meal, as Marcus just said, has garlic in it. You're not going to be all smoochy. Because, you know, you smell like garlic. Firstly, if both of you eat a dish with garlic in it, it won't matter. It cancels each other out. Nobody's going to care. But what you generally notice is if all of a sudden he's suddenly in the mood after a hearty Italian dinner full of fresh garlic, that's why. Garlic has been an aphrodisiac since ancient times.
The libido of Italian men and women now makes so much more sense to me.
Yeah, you know, or... You know, they just spend 5 hours eating dinner, which means they're having 5 hours drinking wine.
And eating garlic.
That probably has a lot to do with it. A cold sore treatment. If anyone has that, rub the garlic directly on the area for 10 minutes, several times a day. And the acid stings a little bit. But, you know, all the good beauty treatments hurt a little, I think. Beauty is pain, people. We women know that. As a mosquito repellent. And you were just talking about how lovely garlic smells when you rub it all over yourself. I know that you use it as a mosquito repellent. It's an all-natural mosquito repellent.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And a few chopped garlic cloves and a tablespoon of oil. Just a little bit. How do you make your mosquito repellent?
Oh, I just make sure my family eats lots of garlic. And I noticed the mosquito bites dropped because we don't taste as good.
or you could just have like a few shots of something. Alcoholic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you could. And this, I don't know if this works, and it might be just an alcoholic's way of justifying their consumption, but they swear by it. And it's, I think scotch is the big one. If shots of that, if you're going to be going into a, I don't know if anyone's going to be making any urgent future plans for going hiking through a mosquito infested swamp in the near future, but should that come up, you'll know exactly what to do. And you have a little bit of scotch, maybe a surefire way to get lost in said mosquito infested swamp, I think. Maybe go the garlic route. Instead, you'll find your way home. When we come back on the next Top of the Hour at Food Fight Radio here on KCBQ 1170, we are going to be talking about a really hot button issue. To be or not to be. We're talking bee politics. And that's the problem with vegans. After these messages, stay tuned.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.